and welcome to the Destiny Prague podcast. Our heart is to see people empowered by the love of Jesus and activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God is still relevant today, and we trust that this message will bless you, challenge you, and fill your heart and mind with the truth of who God is and who you are in Christ. We believe that God has a plan for your life, and we want to journey a road of discipleship with you as you discover who He has called you to be. If you'd like to connect with us, check out our website at destinychurch.cz. Let's go. So we're going to be preaching this morning a new teaching series. If you'd like to open up your Bibles to 1 Peter, the next 5 weeks, we are going to be teaching from 1 Peter. I don't know how I always end up being the person who starts the new teaching series, considering I'm the one who actually sets the teaching schedule. I don't know how that actually works out. Let me bring my iPad a little bit closer. So I've been preaching for just over 3 years, and they say a good way to start a preach is with like a funny story or like a joke. Sometimes I share stuff about my kids. They're always entertaining. But I tried Googling good stories this morning on Change, because that's what a good pastor does. I Google motivational stories about change. There were stories about eagles. There were stories, it's always like these big, beautiful creatures. That there was one about an elephant and a mouse. All these things, and I read these stories, and I'm like, wow. If I read these stories, I do not want to give off the impression that this series is going to be a TED talk on how to be a better you, because that is not what this is about. So instead, I will read a quote that's going to convict you and make you wonder why you came to church this morning, because that's what I do. Because I only get to preach once a month, so now I go for it. So it says here, it's popular to say today, I'm being me, real, myself. Not realizing sometimes we might just be justifying our perpetual carnality, unwillingness to change, and rejection of God's holiness. There is a difference between your God-made, redeemable personality and your sinful personal choices to remain the same. Sorry. So, with that, the new series we're going to be starting this morning is called Keep the Change, Staying the Course That Transforms and Avoiding the Course That Conforms. Let me open up my Bible app, because the Lord is just me speaking to me so much. I have notes in 1,000 different places. So this should be good. So what we're going to be talking about over the next while is change. And what I want to say at the start of this is that we're not speaking about change in terms of how the world is changing, how circumstances around us are changing, how the political climate is changing. We're going to be speaking about change inside of us, change within us, right? So I don't want you to listen to this series going, I know who'll benefit from this series, and thinking about somebody else, like I'm thinking about my husband right now who isn't here. What? Just kidding. He's at home with the kids. But this is going to be something that we're going to be dealing with internally. How do we approach, and this is a question you can ask yourself, what is your approach to internal change? How do you feel, or what is your response when you attend a Sunday service and the preacher preaches something that challenges you or that makes you go, I've never thought about that? Do you just jump on the tram and go home afterwards? What do you do when, like me, you find that really great quote on Instagram and you're like, wow, to share that to my stories, and nothing ever changes after that? We're going to be talking about how is our posture towards God wanting to bring transformation in our lives. So this is going to be all on you. I can't respond to this for you. I can't change your perspective on this. You, for the next 5 weeks, need to allow the Lord to work in your hearts and change your hearts and your minds to have a healthy posture and attitude towards change and transformation. Because that is ultimately part of the gospel, right? Repentance is what we all signed up for, right? Part of salvation is repentance, which is agreeing to a state of changing and turning from things that hinder our Christ likeness. Did you know that? Right? And what brings about change? It's a response to the gospel. When we hear the gospel, when we're reminded of what Jesus did. Last week, we just came out of Easter. You cannot encounter the cross and stay the same. You cannot hear the gospel and it not change something in you. I want to tell you, you are never, ever going to reach a point in your life where there is nothing that needs to be changed. So you cannot sit here this morning saying, oh, I want to put this on the back burner until I need to change something. Because what God is doing in us, once we believe in Him, once we repented, which was a turning from anything that hinders our Christ-likeness, is that we're still going through this process of sanctification. We're still going through this process of becoming more like Christ. But are we? How is your response to the gospel? When last have you responded to the gospel? In other words, when last have you read something that made you go, whoa, I don't live like this. I got to change something. When last has a friend come to you and said, I'm seeing something in your life that isn't bearing good fruit. And instead of getting offensive, you're like, wow, you're right. That is something that needs to be changed in my life. So this isn't even about how we respond. This are we responding to the call of the gospel that leads to transformation? We need to be so mindful of becoming resistant to change or becoming resistant to repentance when this is actually part of healthy spiritual growth. I want to tell you something. Do not hold on to your sins so closely. And I'm not saying sin in terms of I do this and this is a sin. Sin is anything that is hindering you becoming more like Christ. Don't hold on to those things so closely. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, those who hide their sins won't succeed, but those who confess and give them up will receive mercy. My favorite revelation that I've received over the past couple of months. Sorry if my voice is so shaky, it's because I battle with airflow. My favorite revelation, something that I'd never actually thought of, was our excuse that God knows my heart, so that excuses my actions. And we're going to get to this in 1 Peter now, where the truth is that, yes, God knows your heart, but He judges your deeds. What does the scripture say? They will know you by your fruit. It doesn't say they will know you by the seed. They're not going to know you by what you believe internally. They're going to know you by what is being produced in your life. They're going to know you by the change that is coming and the fruit that is coming from that. That is what changes people. Not having a good heart. Although that is obviously something that is very admirable. This lack of openness to change can cause us to follow God at a distance, to avoid Holy Spirit conviction in our lives. Or we can often believe the lies of shame and separation, and we begin to create a disconnect in our discipleship journey. Some of you, you can sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, but I'm going to follow Him at a distance. He's there, and I'm going to be here. Some of you are just afraid to get that one step closer to Him because you know that touching Him is going to cause transformation in your lives. Touching Him is going to cause you to bring heart changes. Touching Him is going to cause you to be rejected. Don't follow Him at a distance. You know, for some of us as well, we can fear change because we fear losing control. Anybody relate? That's my road. That's why I fear change. I feel like I'm actually pretty good at managing things. So I fear losing control over certain situations. I fear losing things that I've built, that I've deemed as valuable. And it's so great that Donovan mentioned Peter last week in his Easter sermon. Because we looked at the life of Peter last week, doing many things in the Lord's name, sitting under Jesus' teachings. Yet his heart was still carrying something. His heart was harboring something that would cause him to deny Jesus when the circumstances got difficult. We know he denied Jesus 3 times. We're going to get to that in a bit. And that's why I think it is so beautiful that we're going to be preaching from the book that Peter wrote. And there's a danger as well, as I said earlier, in deflecting growth or change onto those around us or those we think needed more than us. There's a danger in developing everything else in our lives, our ministries, our families, our careers, we develop our health, yet we neglect all internal change that we've been called to. And I think in the time that we served here as pastors as well, it was so easy for me to see the fruit of change in other people's lives and then convince myself that, well, I must also be growing and changing because look at all the Lord is doing through me. And in the same way, how often do we determine our overall internal spiritual health by how well our partners are doing, our families are doing, our kids are doing, how well our finances are doing, how well our studies are doing. So this morning, I want you to, as I am preaching, just begin to think of things in your life that you know the Lord has been speaking about you to change. Things that need to be adjusted. Things that need to become more Christ-like. Just think about yourself this morning. So a couple of things. Why do we resist change? Without turning this into a motivational talk, I'm just going to quickly run through a couple of things. Desire for control. Spoke about that. Been there. Comfort. I dislike change. I am risk averse. In my mind, change means risk. That's why I try to bypass it. Just my personal journey. Change requires effort. As I said, we have effort to develop every other part of our lives. But taking care of ourselves seems to be at the end of that list. Maybe the circumstances we find ourselves in make us resistant to change. I can relate to that. I'm telling you, in December, I went away for 5 days to a Christian conference in America. Stayed in a hotel. It was my 5 days that I get alone in the year, away from my kids, because Donovan travels weekly, so he gets the odd break. Not that he's relaxing, he's working, I get that. Gender roles and stuff. But I get my 5 days, and I'm at a Christian conference, and it's worship all day, and I go back to my quiet hotel room that I don't need to clean, and I can just read my Bible. Oh, and it was beautiful. And then I get back, and the kids are sick, and everybody's yelling, and I don't get time to worship like I did. I don't get time to read my Bible in that quiet, peaceful atmosphere, right? Sometimes the circumstances we find ourselves in can make change a little bit of like a last thing on the list. Like right now, God, I know you're talking to me about pride and humility, but I really just got to like take care of my sick kids first, and then I'll get to it. God, I just got to get through this next financial year at work, then I'm going to deal with that problem. Then I'm going to get a therapist, I promise. I'm going to deal with this. Right? But the thing that I want to speak about today, most of all, the reason why we resist change is because we fear people's responses. We don't want to be controversial. We don't want to be offensive. And often the changes that God is calling us to make in our lives are going to offend people. Because Christianity is offensive to the world we live in. The call of God on our lives is one of holiness. It's one of set apartness. It's one of purity. And when you're living in a world like we live in today, those things will seem offensive to the rest of the world. So we try and just be a little bit neutral. A little bit of that, a little bit of that. Because we don't want to offend. We don't want to rock the boat. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you," say transform,
"transform
into a new person by changing," say changing.
Changing
the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Lean into transformation and change. That is what the next 5 weeks is going to be about. Do not avoid it. Do not conform instead to the world and comfort, but take the posture of being changed and transformed and ready and alert for whatever He is asking of you. Galatians 1 verse 10 says, it won't be up on the screen. It says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." I'm going to read that again, Galatians 1 verse 10. "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." Amen? So 1 Peter 1. Some context. The story of Peter, and you're welcome to go and read up on this. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. Peter had walked through this tension of being called and set apart, yet being too easily influenced by the world around him. He had denied Jesus, even after being one of Jesus' disciples, because he was so influenced by people and the situation at the time, and because he was following at a distance. It was so interesting to me when I was reading the story of Holy Week, when Jesus was arrested and he's being taken to Pilate and all the disciples scatter, but Peter continues to follow him. This is why I was praying this morning. We sing it. "I have decided to follow Jesus." Peter could continue to follow Jesus, but it was at a distance. He was hidden. And he followed just to see what would happen. And people came to him and said, "Do you know Jesus? Do you know this man?" "No, don't know this man." He had just been with him. Yet, church, Jesus, raised from the dead, met Peter with grace and forgiveness. And Peter then responded to him with a transformed heart and an even stronger faith. And even now, there is grace for you. There is grace. He is reaching out to you and he is saying, "Don't follow me at a distance anymore. Be transformed. Come and meet me. Let's get back to where we were." Luke 22 verse 32, this is Jesus speaking to Peter. "But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon Peter, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turn to me again, strengthen your brothers." And that's what he's doing in 1 Peter. He's strengthening the church. And because of Peter, we are not going to sit under these teachings for the next 5 weeks, and we're going to be strengthened. Amen? Okay. Point number one. Not that I really have points, but it's highlighted. So we need to make peace with the fact that who we are and the changes we make will look different to the world around us. Peter's letter in 1 Peter 1, or 1 Peter, is to Christians undergoing persecution for living in a way that was different to their unbelieving neighbors. Very applicable to us today. Very, very applicable. His letter was meant to encourage them in their suffering and give their suffering purpose as a vital aspect of Christian living. So that's what I want to speak to today. I want you to know that you shouldn't be fearing anything that he is asking of you, fearing any change, fearing any transformation that he wants to do in your life. because you're scared of what it's going to look like to the world. Because this is part of being a follower of Christ. It is a fundamental of being under his leadership. In 1 Peter 2 verse 11, Peter speaks to the believers and he calls them resident aliens and foreigners. That is how out of touch they were. That's how strange they looked. How many of you have been called a resident alien of Prague? Okay, well, we have been called foreigners as well, so I can't. But I thought that to myself. I'm like, well, I've never had anybody come up to me and insinuate that that the way I love my family or the way I lead my family is alien-like. And it made me wonder if I'm living in a way that is any different to the world, if I'm loving my family in a way that is any different to the world. So why were they, why are we considered aliens or foreigners? Because the life of purity we have been called to, the set apartness, the holy way of living should offend the world around us. But we don't want to be rejected. So we resist changing things. We resist reflecting the holiness of Christ. We reject a pure lifestyle, pure choices, and we end up living in compromise. We end up resisting God and the work of transformation he has planned for us. We're so quick to reject internal change. Instead, we just try and control our external circumstances. We just try to control the outward things, right? Oh, yeah, my roommate, the worst. I'm just going to change apartments. Oh, my school, no. They're just rejecting me. They just don't agree with my lifestyle. I'm just going to move schools. Or my workplace, LGBTQ+ agenda. I'm just going to leave them. And what's interesting here in 1 Peter is that Peter was not telling the believers to change their circumstances. He wasn't telling them to rather move cities. He wasn't telling them to rather form a club and meet once a week because then they'll feel better about all the rejection. No, he was saying, change your response. Change your heart posture. Change yourself. See this as normal. See this as a joy. See this as just being part of a follower of Christ. Actually, see this as proof that you are living a refining lifestyle, that it is offending those around you. Interesting. And how would they do this? I love 1 Peter. Each chapter, Peter reminds us that it's not by willpower that we're going to change. It's not better thinking. It's not time that's going to change us. The only thing that will bring change and transformation is a revelation that Jesus is the only one who can change us. So you'll see in every single chapter, and I encourage you to go and read this, every chapter there is a part about the gospel and a reminder of all that Jesus has done. And then the second part is, what should our response be to that? It's absolutely beautiful. Paul wants us to understand that persecution is the privilege we carry for Jesus' name. Being misunderstood, rejected, isolated is not reason enough to forgo lives that honor God in holiness, purity, and consecration. So, getting to 1 Peter 1, so that this isn't just a monologue of me, we're actually going to be looking at the scriptures this morning. Beautiful quote here by Tim Keller. All change comes from deepening your understanding of the salvation of Christ and living out the changes that understanding creates in your heart. All change comes from deepening your understanding of the salvation of Christ and living out the changes that understanding creates in your heart. So 1 Peter 1, verse 14 to 15, it says, as God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know better. sounds like a dad. Sounds like he's disciplining them like a father. Verse 15, instead, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. Never again, church, shape your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know any better. When we speak about holiness, and I've used that word a lot this morning, it means to be set apart, right? It means to be completely devoted to Him. It means bringing every area of your life to Him and yielding, that means living under His word and His will for your life. That is what we should be shaping our lives according to. 1 Peter 1 verse 17, he continues, he says, since you call on Him as your heavenly Father, the impartial judge, who judges according to each one's works, live each day with holy awe and reverence throughout your time on earth. God knows your heart, but He knows your deeds. Some of you need to take things that have been changed in your heart, because that is sometimes how it starts, right? This is what we were just saying. Change doesn't come from doing better or time or trying harder. Change has to start with an inward repentance and transformation. But I think some of us have got a lot of things that have radically and beautifully changed in our hearts, but we've yet to live them out. We've yet to make the practical changes associated with those internal things that the Lord has spoken to us. He knows your heart, but what does the fruit of your life look like? 1 Peter 1, verse 18 to 19. For you know that your lives were ransomed once and for all from the empty and futile way of life, handed down from generation to generation. It was not a ransom payment of silver and gold, which eventually perishes, but by the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb was sacrificed for us. I want to tell you, the sinful life that you cling to, these decisions that you cling to, these choices that you refuse to let go, are empty and they carry no value. And some of you need to know that. It is hard to hear and it is offensive, but anything that you look to, anything that you add to Christ, is empty and futile. It will not serve you. It will not save you. It will not redeem you. It will not bring about fruit in your life. It is worthless. It is nothing compared to the price that was paid for you, the precious blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1 verse 22, it says, now, because of your obedience to the truth, you have been purified. It doesn't say now because of your knowledge of the truth. It says because of your obedience to the truth, you have been purified. Change requires obedience to the truth. What is obedience? It's submission. What is submission? It's bringing your ways, thoughts, decisions under the ways and thoughts of God. The Bible, church, and I've said this before, may not have an explicit scripture where it tells you exactly what to do with the last 200 crowns in your bank account at the end of the month. But the Bible teaches principles on sowing and reaping. The Bible teaches principles on generosity. The Bible teaches principles on giving with a closed hand. So do not tell me that there is an area in your life that you're not sure about God's perspective or view on it. He was fully man. Jesus lived the lives that we live today. He and His word is full of instructions and principles for us. So what is an encouragement to us? Let's be encouraged this morning. Let me not leave us all high and dry. Encouragement for us this morning. How should we approach these changes that God is calling us to make in our lives? Maybe it's a changing of a thought pattern. Maybe it's the change of how we deal with certain people. Maybe it's a relationship we need to deal with. Maybe it's a circumstance. But let's look at these things in light of not wanting to make these changes because we fear what the response is going to be from our colleagues, from our family, our roommates, the city. What does Peter tell us to encourage us? Firstly, he says, be prepared for it. 1 Peter 1 verse 13, so then, prepare your hearts and minds for action. Stay alert. So I'm telling you so that you cannot be surprised that not everybody is going to like your decision. Not everybody's going to like your viewpoint on certain things. I had a conversation with somebody from church this week, Monday or Tuesday, and she was saying how a friend had said to her, oh, I think I'm going to go and get somebody to read tarot cards for me. I'm just interested in what they would look like. And I had said to this person, I said, isn't it interesting, though, that people who are in the world, who live according to the world, they don't find it offensive to talk about their things. Their, you know, personal preferences, their tarot cards, their fortune tellers. They don't feel, I don't know if I should say this. But for us to respond with, wow, have you considered coming to church and learning more about Jesus? That's like, whoa, don't rock the boat. Don't say that. Like this Uber ride is only 5 minutes. Like you don't want to get into that. Right? So Peter is saying, yeah, it's going to be offensive. So live ready for it. Live ready with a response. The Word of God says, be ready to give an answer at all times. Be ready to give an account. Be fully convinced of what you believe. 1 Peter 1 verse 2. Peter reminds us that even if you are rejected, you are not alone. He says, you are not forgotten, for you have been chosen and destined by Father God. The Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus, who have been gloriously sprinkled with his blood. You are not alone. This path marked out for you, the life that is set before you, nothing surprises him. Thirdly, revelation of this set apart life, this life of holiness and purity and living according to God's word, should evoke a response of joy. Right? You should all leave here this morning joyful because of what he's called you to. Delara, you guys can come up. 1 Peter 1, verse 5 to 6 and verse 8. Through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6. May the thought of this cause you to jump for joy. Even though lately you've had to put up with the grief of many trials, you love him passionately. Although you have not seen him, but through believing in him, you are saturated with an ecstatic joy, indescribably sublime and immersed in glory. That's a lot of passion. That is a lot of joy. And some of us are just like, nah. It is what it is. Fourthly, Peter says here, value the change and value what the persecution is causing in your life. Listen to this. Not every bit of persecution needs to be avoided. Sometimes it can cause good. 1 Peter 1 verse 7, but these only reveal the sterling core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes. For even gold is refined by fire. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus the Anointed One is revealed. This persecution, these feelings of being misunderstood, the fire, it's refining your faith. It's burning away the things that are distracting you. It's burning away the Jesus and this when it only needs to be Jesus. The fire is coming to burn away everything that is not Him. And lastly, just something that the Lord had been speaking to me about this week. He said that we're not merely just to endure persecution or endure being misunderstood, but that we're supposed to go around and cause it. We're supposed to challenge. I'm not saying go out there and start a riot and be controversial. I'm not saying go out there and start a Facebook page. I'm not saying go and comment things that you shouldn't be commenting on people's posts. But carry such a love and passion for the life that you've been called to, that you see persecution as a joy, that you see being misunderstood or rejected as just part of what you signed up for. Find so much joy and acceptance in Christ that you don't look for it in those around you, that you don't look for it in your job. Not pursuing a holy and pure life because you're more aware of the world around you is not a good enough reason. That is the bottom line. Some of us need a reminder of the price that was paid for our right standing. Some of us need to learn to respond to the gospel again. And some of us need to make peace with the fact that choosing to follow Christ is choosing an offensive life to the world around us. Can we stand this morning? Jesus, I pray this morning, just as we've already prayed, that You would be enough. That we don't need You and the approval of people. That we don't need You and acceptance in the workplace. That we don't need You and a non-offensive family set up. But that Jesus, You would be enough for us. Jesus, I pray that You would work in our hearts. That You would work on our posture towards change, towards transformation, towards repentance. That we would see these things as joy. That we would see these things as an opportunity for our faith to be refined, for our faith to be purified. And Lord, none of this is going to be comfortable. None of this is going to feel good in the moment. But Jesus, we cannot live a life. We cannot own a lifestyle that is worth any less than Your blood. We cannot harbor a heart that is filled with anything that we value as more important than Your blood. The life we knew was futile and empty, but we know better now. We know better now. Peter reminded us, we know better. And we now shape our lives to become more like You, Jesus. Change our hearts. Create a new heart in us. Help us to seek approval only in You, Lord. And I want to create space now. I want to take a moment. If you have never made the decision to follow Christ, if you're realizing that what you're hearing this morning is true, your life feels empty. It feels like it's not worth much. You feel like you're so easily influenced by the world around you. Maybe for years and years it's caused you to deny Him. If you're saying this morning that you want to turn to Jesus, you want to say, Jesus, the life you have for me is so much more than the life I've been trying to make for myself. If you want to just say, Jesus, would you come and be the Lord? Would you come and be the Savior of my life? Because I'm on the road to nowhere. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you welcomed Peter back and you reminded him of his purpose and his place in your kingdom even after he turned from you 3 times. And lastly, Lord, I want to pray for those of us who have followed you at a distance to keep control of our lives. If that's you this morning, if you've said, I follow him at a distance, I read the Bible at a distance, I worship at a distance because coming too close is going to cause changes I don't feel like making. It's going to cause me to give up control of things I think are valuable. But if you're saying this morning, I want to repent of that, I want to give up control, I want to lay down my life for him, I want to give up control, I don't want to follow him at a distance, I want to be up close. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand as well, just as a public declaration? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray for your grace. I just pray for your grace to flow over each and every person who raised their hands, Lord. Whatever is causing them to separate themselves, whether it's a desire for control, whether it's a pride issue, whether it's fear,
Oh.